Realm Makers is the leading fantastical conference for Christian creatives. Recently, organizers shared that over 40% of registrations for this July's event are first-time guests. For Zach and me and our special guest, this brings back a lot of memories, and we thought we would share them with you. What is it like at a writer's conference? And what should first-time guests expect at Realm Makers and beyond?
Speculative fiction, like no other genre, reflects the creativity of God.
If you look at the scriptures, you're going to have to see that God uses imagination more than rational discourse.
We are supposed to be image bearers for a vastly creative God.
Reading fantastical fiction opened a portal in my imagination for a place other than just a materialistic world.
I experienced the gospel story with the mind of someone who loved adventure and loved the idea of light conquering darkness.
We're wired for stories that reflect how we see the world in ways that are true.
The story is either pointing to Christ or it's pointing to our need for Christ.
Welcome back, or maybe for the first time, to Fantastical Truth, the podcast from lorehaven.com in which we explore fantastical stories for God's glory. I'm E. Steve Burnett, the publisher of Lorehaven and author of a new science fiction novel releasing in spring 2025.
And I'm Zachary Russell, and I am a writer's conference junkie. I'm a four-peat attender of Realm Makers, and this will be my fifth year. And this is episode 210, What Can First-Time Guests Expect at a Christian Writers Conference?
We are joined by a first-time guest to this podcast, J.J. Johnson, who's not only doing marketing for Realm Makers, but is the author of a, I think, five-book middle-grade fantastical series called Iggy and Oz. J.J., welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here, guys. I'm looking forward to discussing this.
Well, I appreciate you parking your TARDIS outside. I thought I recognized that signature vorp vorp sound. I'm glad to see that you've arrived in the classic TARDIS and not whatever modern reboot they're trying to do now. J.J. Johnson is the author of the Iggy and Oz comedic fantasy series for middle grade readers, and he is the new marketing director for Realm Makers. J.J. grew up in Prior Creek, Oklahoma, and attended Oklahoma Baptist University, majoring in student ministry. He lives in Edmond, Oklahoma, with his wife, Ashley, and their two children, and you'll find all of those links to his work in the show notes. Real quick mission update, however, from Lorehaven. We have been busy at the site, not only because I got to announce that novel I mentioned coming out, but also because we are still doing incredible book reviews of the best Christian-made fantastical novels we can find. Last week's review was for Hybrid, a book by Candace Cade from Enclave Publishing. Book two of the Hybrid series, which has a genetic engineering and social credit systems and everything. Fascinating book there. We also announced our upcoming book quest in the Lorehaven Guild for a book that I, to my shame, had barely even heard of before, even though it goes all the way back to 1978 by a Lutheran minister called The Book of the Dun Cow. My pitch for that is King Rooster versus Evil. And my friend Elijah David is doing that book quest in the Lorehaven Guild. That's our exclusive Discord server where we quest into the best stories with trusted guides, a curated community, over 300 heroes now. And you can join by subscribing free at lorehaven.com. We will then send you that exclusive Lorehaven Guild access code. Meanwhile, a new book out from our friends at Enclave Publishing, which is our top sponsor for this show, Lion Warrior by James R. Hannibal, the epic conclusion to the Light Raider Academy series. The Dragon War has breached the barrier. The forces of the liberated land are near to breaking. Without a heavy and rapid shift in the Assembly's strategy, a dragon invasion will be unstoppable. Connor and Kara have kept the full knowledge of the Red Dagger's location secret for almost a year. A chance to destroy Helior and end the war is within the Light Raider Order's grasp. They must now reveal what they know and call for action. Every path that lies before the cadets seems a great risk. The slightest misstep may cost them their lives, their loved ones, and their homeland. But to do nothing means certain failure. To succeed, they must charge ahead into dark uncertainty and trust the rescuer. Enclave Escape presents Lion Warrior, the third book in the Light Raider Academy series by James R. Hannibal. It's available today wherever fantastic books are sold. Order now online or ask for it at your favorite bookseller or your local library. It's also available in audio from Oasis Audio, and we have all those links in our show notes for this episode 210, or go to lorehaven.com/podcast. Well, everything changed when the dragons attacked, and you need to get some sustenance for that kind of quest and battle. So let's head over to our locally popular concession stand. First thing I want to say is that we are still not a writer's podcast, yet we know that many of our listeners are writers, and that I think statistically this would bear out. I think fans of fantastical fiction are more likely to try to write their own fiction, even as a hobby, even to post on their website, even if they're not trying to do the professional thing like get an agent or talk to acquisitions editors or even know all the ins and outs of grammar and style. So I think that the occasional writing-focused episode is perfectly fine for Fantastical Truth. Even if you're not trying to be a writer, I'm never trying to be a movie maker or a script writer. Zach and I just talked about that a couple of episodes ago. But I still love movie behind the scenes, not because I want to be in pictures, because I like to see how it's done. So in this case, I think it's great to go behind the scenes a little bit and talk about what it's like at a writer's conference, but specifically focus on what's coming up next with Realm Makers and what it will be like if you are a first-time guest to a conference like this. After all, as we'll hear from JJ later, Realm Makers is poised to grow beyond, but still keeping that audience of creatives. The conference will continue to emphasize first-class, top-tier training for Christian creatives from staff who know what they're doing, and that writer's conference will always be there. And yet they're also adding some amazing bonus features, not this year, but next year for the summer 2025 conference. So if you listen to the end of this episode, JJ is going to drop some approved spoilers about what Realm Makers fans and first-comers can expect for next year's event. JJ, Zach, any other concessions, that is disclaimers, you would want to add to help set the table for this show?
Yeah, so I'm a writer and I have been since fifth grade. I still have the book that I had to do for a class project about create your own Greek myth. In fact, a little while back, we unearthed this in some storage bin in some attic somewhere. And it was kind of fun, but kind of cringe to look back on that. And yeah, like you said, Stephen, when you read fantasy and sci-fi, you can't help but want to create your own because it is such a creative genre, especially as we hear every week in the opening to this podcast. And so when I was in kind of late middle school, early high school, I was really getting into fantasy thanks to books like Lord of the Rings and the Shannara series by Terry Brooks. And so I just started writing a lot of my own fantasy books. I mean, I never finished them. They never went anywhere. I don't even know where they are, if they exist anymore, if I threw them away at some point. But yeah, there's just a kind of a natural tendency to want to do that. And that continued in later years. And we'll get into the more our modern writing careers or attempts anyway. But JJ, you know, I want to hear from you here, but I just want to say my 7-year-old son loves your Iggy and Oz books. And so I think he's read all of them now. And it's the perfect book for him.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. I always get excited anytime I hear some kid loves to read, or like a child that doesn't enjoy reading is actually diving into the books, because that's kind of why I wrote them, was for those reluctant readers. So, you know, I think, you know, talking about going behind the scenes a little bit there, guys, you know, one of the things, I grew up reading an author here in Oklahoma called Bill Wallace, and he wrote books of that were basically adventure stories set in the Wichita Mountains here in Oklahoma about boys going on adventure and stuff like that. And that's what I kind of wanted to capture with the Iggy and Oz stories. I wanted to bring that kind of my love for the classic adventure stories for boys, as well as my love for like Goosebumps and some of those fantastical stories. So for me, I think, you know, we're going to get into the writing conference and stuff like that, but It was some of the things I learned at these writing conferences that helped me break through and get the confidence to actually sit down and write the Iggy and Oz series.
Well, JJ, that leads me to our first question. Chapter one, what do we recall about first writing conferences? I'd like to start with you and that story. You have written now, I think, 5 of the Iggy and Oz books for middle grade readers. We need to get those up at lorehaven.com, by the way. I'll be working on it. But I'm curious then if you can remember, yes, what led from your interest in reading stories to your interest in wanting to create them, which led you then to something at first unfamiliar when you were a first-time guest at a writer's conference, whether that was Realm Makers or ACFW or whatever it was. What did that story look like for you?
Well, you know, my story goes back. I started writing like short stories and stuff in high school, college, kind of got away from it for a while. And I came back to it around 2011, 2012. And I was obviously very heavily involved in ACFW at the time. I was an ACFW chapter president. And I'd go to writing conferences and things like that, but I didn't know anybody that was writing in the genre that I wanted to write in. So I was always hanging out with like the romance writers because that's the only people I was connected to with my ACFW chapter. And they were brilliant writers. They helped me a lot. But it was really in 2015 when I drove 8 hours from Oklahoma City to St. Louis to my very first Realmmakers. And that was the third one that happened. There was about only 150 people there. But that Realmmakers, I think, was significant in the lives of a lot of us writers because there were so many of us that were brand new to Realmmakers that year. Robert Liparulo, and I know I always butcher his last name, Bobby, I apologize, but he was given the keynote speech. And this is the only keynote speech I really just really remember. That's how significant it is. And he was passing out these cards that says, Robert Liparulo said, and he had 2 points to his closing opening keynote speech. Basically, he said, stop. Just stop right now. Stop worrying about pitching. Stop worrying about writing the perfect story. Stop everything and just focus on this moment. Take your time to connect with others. Take your time to learn. Take your time through your pitches. And I did. I did my pitch. I did my pitch with Steve Libby that year. And I got my rite of passage rejection that we all writers get at one point. And
some of us more than once.
Exactly. And, you know, it was a good year, but I met so many of my closest friends. I met Jason C. Joyner there. I met Josh Smith there. I met Nadine Brandis there. So many of us who were just starting out in our writing journeys. And, you know, it was impactful. And these folks became lifelong friends. Out of that, Realmmakers launched the Realmmakers Consortium on Facebook. It was called the Alumni at the time, Realmmakers Alumni. It was started by Jason Joyner. And
Robert Liparulo said he could.
That's right. He said he could. And he did it. And we launched that and we all continue to be connected. But I'll never forget his closing keynote speech that year. At the opening, he said, stop. At the end, he said, go. Go out, write those stories. Go out and tell the story that you feel God has placed on your heart. Go out and connect with everybody that you have connected with here and continue to connect with them and continue the network. And that was really the point I think I started to find my family, my community with Realmmakers. And, you know, Realmmakers started as this passion to provide community for authors who were Christians that wanted to write speculative fiction and to be able to allow them to come together and network. There's a lot of people out there think, oh, they're anti this, they're anti. No, that's not why it was started. It was started with a passion to provide that community. And that 2015 conference was important to me and so many other people because that's where we began to meet a lot of our best friends in life, not just in the writing community. So that conference right there is significant to me for that very reason.
Zach, you went to Realmmakers. You said this will be your fifth time going this year, hoping you're able to go. What was your first writers conference ever, Zach? And how did that change you?
Yeah, so the Realmmakers conference in 2018 was my very first time to go. And I actually wrote a little blog post about this way back when, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And I was just kind of scanning over it, thinking back to what things were like 6 years ago. So first of all, I think it just to make a quick comment, and we'll get into this more later. And JJ said in 2015, there were 150 people. When I went there for the first time, there were 300 people. And then this year I just looked and there's 415 people. And so first of all, it's just really cool to see how it's growing. The keynote speaker that year was Tosca Lee, or maybe she was in the pre-conference workshop, or I can't remember, but she was the first speaker I remember and I wrote about. And she said, quote, the most important thing to take away from a writer's conference is connections with other people. And, you know, JJ, that's very similar to what you said Robert said. Just stop trying to perform so much and make some friendships here. And Tosca really emphasized how, you know, this is a place that's more like a family gathering than a professional gathering. And that really surprised me going in. And I think the biggest takeaway I had was that I went into write. So I started seriously trying to write a novel in around 2015 is when I started. I'd been writing screenplays for the 5 years previous to that, mostly short films and one or two feature films, and honestly just kind of spinning my tires in the sand and not really getting anywhere. And part of that is because it takes a ton of people and a ton of money to make even a short film, much less a feature film. So I got into novel writing thinking, oh, this will be great. It's just me. I have no one else to answer to. I can do this completely by myself. It's my own little sandbox to play in. And I don't need anyone. I can do this all on my own. And sort of in that same spirit of like, well, Robert said I can. Like, I give myself permission to write whatever I want. And I can do it all alone. Well, that I think that's what that idea really got shattered at Realm Makers. You know, one thing I wrote then was that probably the biggest mistake I made going into novel writing from kind of between that 2015 to 2018 season was thinking that it was a solitary art form. Like it was like painting. You know, when you see someone painting, that it's just them, and unless they're painting someone else, but you don't think of painting or sculpting or even like playing piano is needing anyone. Maybe you need a teacher, but it's just you and the instrument. And I really thought that's how fiction writing was, but you really do need this whole community. You need critique partners. You need beta readers. You need editors, designers, marketing gurus. You know, there's so many people that you need, but you also need that friendship. You need that community because it is such a solitary and lonely thing. It's hard to have the confidence, like you're saying, JJ. It's hard to have that confidence, that courage, that perseverance without other people. And sure enough, along the way, I have met a number of people that said they started to write a book and they gave up, or they pitched it, it got rejected, they quit, or they had written books and they weren't selling and they just said, enough of that. I have met so many people. And this is not to say anything bad about them, but just to say the reality of this is a very different type of art form than either sculpting or filmmaking that requires deeply these kind of connections that you make through a writer's conference.
Zach, I think I was there when you went to the first Realm Makers. And I think that because I've not missed any Realm Makers since 2014 or 2015, I've probably been there with you every single time, even for the virtual conference in the year 2020, which was a very interesting event. And I was very glad to get back to the real one. But there is, by the way, we cannot overlook this. Even if you can't go to Realm Makers, there is a virtual conference option. They live stream the classes and folks can go and attend via the Realm Sphere. And I'll get to that in a moment with a sponsor segment. I am happy to say, well, I'm not happy to say that I missed those two Realm Makers events because of some other life events going on. And if not for those two absences, I would have a perfect attendance record because I actually did get to be there for the very first Realm Makers conference in 2013, packed into those little campus rooms in St. Louis. Now Realm Makers has had a lot of events in St. Louis, but it's at the Sheraton Westport Chalet Hotel, a very affordable, awesome location that we are unfortunately outgrowing now. So this may be the last year that we're there. But those early events switched between the Villanova campus and that St. Louis campus. And they were held, I think, a little bit earlier in the year, too. And then it was after 2016 that Realm Makers decided to jump from the Campi to actually go to the hotel in Realm Makers, Reno. It's Realm Makers Reno now, Reno Makers in 2017. And that, by the way, is where I announced the start of the Lorehaven project. So Lorehaven, this podcast, everything, lorehaven.com. has its origins at Realm Makers. And I, to some extent, have a lot of origins in Realm Makers too. Now, that 2013 conference was not, however, my first writer's conference. I had been previously to 2.5 ACFW conferences. Now, JJ, you mentioned that. That's the American Christian Fiction Writers, which used to be the American Christian Romance Writers. So you can see who kind of has majority share there. And when I went, JJ, I also noticed, well, hey, we are so in the minority here, these weird fantasy and sci-fi writers. It was so ratioed, at least the men, and irrespective of genre, the male attenders were so ratioed that they actually converted one of the restrooms into a women's restroom. So way before it was uncool and enforced by the sexual revolutionaries. It was a Christian conference that had women going into the men's room, and then poor Randall Ingermanson and I had to go like, "Hey, where's the where's the men's room?" You had to go down to the pool locker room in order to find the men's restroom. I forget which event that was. May not have been 2016. May have been 2017. The reason why I say I went to half a conference was because in 2017, I only went for about a day and a half. And then I drove south from Dallas to the area in Texas where the girl I hoped to be my girlfriend lived. And now she's my wife and has been for 15 years. So good results there. I kind of pair it together with the conference, but she wasn't at the conference. But she has since joined me at all of the Realm Makers for the last several years. And that's the way to go, gentlemen. If you've got a believing spouse, believing in Christ and in your writing career, bring her to your conference. And ladies, bring your man for the same reason. I think that's a great way to not only discipline yourself, but also get the maximal conference experience. But I'm skipping ahead to my conference tips. Let's pause, though, for a pitch for the conference, Realm Makers 2024. Now, just to be very clear, later on in the show, we're going to talk not only about 24 and also 25. So they're kind of planning everything at once, and I'm anticipating both events with about the same enthusiasm, actually, because for one thing, Lorehaven's going to have a lot more books, and our folks who work with us are going to have a lot more books, including myself. But let's talk about Realm Makers 2024, because since 2013, Realm Makers has been helping writers of fantasy, science fiction, and other fantastical stories find their community and learn their craft from an all-star faculty. And by the way, that is not going to change, even if Realm Makers adds things in the future. Now, the Christian-led organization will return to St. Louis, Missouri for its 12th annual conference this July 18th through 20th. Public registration is open at realmmakers.com. Authors can attend in person, staying at the Sheraton Westport Chalet Hotel for the three-day event, or they can attend the event remotely on the dedicated RealmSphere social network. JJ, I should have had you read this because you said it. At Realm Makers, we've been connecting Christian creators for over a decade, said marketing director JJ Johnson. Our annual conference provides a supportive space where authors can take their next creative steps. Realm Makers is where authors find not just inspiration, but lasting relationships that fuel their success. Get all that info and the all-important registration link at realmmakers.com. We also have it posted in our show notes for episode 210 or at lorehaven.com/podcast. All right, now let's talk to the first-time guests. Chapter 2, How Can Newcomers Enjoy Writing Conferences? So, gentlemen, all of you all and myself are Jedi, but there was one point where we were in the back room there of the Millennium Falcon, and we had to pick up the lightsaber and start whacking at the little floating sphere thing. After which Obi-Wan Kenobi tells us, "You've taken your first step into a larger world." So I'm curious. First, JJ, bring us some stats. How is that registration going for Realm Makers? How many people say that they are first-time guests, either at Realm Makers or at any writers' conference? And then finally, why do you think that is?
Well, right now, I think we have between 404, 409, somewhere around that. And that is not exactly including the exhibitors. Our exhibitor hall has about 50 right now, give or take. I think it's closer to 47, 48. Think about that.
I'm one of them. Mm-hmm.
That is huge. The fact that people want to actually invest a table at Realm Makers. Now, we'll get into that all that here in a minute. But when you look at the total registration, when I was talking to Scott on Monday in our weekly meeting, he mentioned that 39%. Think about this. When I went in 2015, there were about 150 people total. 39% this year are attending Realm Makers for the very first time. That is close to around 150 people. So these are first-time guests to Realm Makers. Now, when you think about that, 24% are attending their very first writing conference. And I get it. Not everybody can attend Realm Makers every single year. For some people, it's like every other year, every 2 years, every 3 years. I get it. Some folks come from overseas, so they can only come over maybe once every 5 years. So there's a lot of attendees who can't necessarily attend every year. But what this shows a sign of is just amazing growth that we're continuing to see year after year after year. And it's absolutely incredible. So we're going to have a lot of people there. for the very first time at Railmakers. I'm excited because I am one of those extroverted guys that will just walk up and talk to the wall if I have to. So if you guys want to get into this about, you know, what to do as a first time guest at Railmakers.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a big list of tips. I bet Zach does too. Zach, you must start with your tips because you've been first time more recently than I was, for sure.
Yeah, JJ, what you just said about being an extrovert. So fellow extrovert here. And so I want to talk to the extroverts listening to this podcast. Do your introvert friends a service and start up the conversations and get the party going because you are outnumbered. It's probably like 5-1 introverts, extroverts in a writer's community. It's just kind of my cursory guess. But yeah, so don't be afraid to introduce yourselves. You know, people that come to a writer's conference are not on a pedestal, okay? Unless they come in with like their own security team and they have to enter through the back door and you can't ever see them afterwards. You know, these are ordinary people that you can talk to. And I think that was what really struck me in 2018 when I went for the first time. I had joined that Facebook community, JJ, you mentioned. So I only knew people, you know, digitally. I just knew their avatar and their, you know, screen name in just comments. I didn't really know anyone except, well, Stephen and I had met in person, but that was it. And actually the day that I got there, it was, I think Stephen didn't get there till the end of the day or something. So I just had a whole day of like, all right, I don't know anyone. I guess I'll just introduce myself to literally everyone. And it was funny because that article I wrote, someone was a photographer for that conference and just took a picture. And there's me in the lobby just introducing myself to everyone.
Zach was just in the Steve lobby. It is the Steve lobby. That's what it's called.
Yeah, I think there's a tendency to want to just do a bunch of writing while you're there, do a bunch of reading, and try to make yourself scarce. And now, full disclosure, I have broken this rule one time where I skipped a couple classes to go work on something really critical. But don't be there to just focus on your craft. Like, craft is important. Marketing is important. Everything you can learn is super important. But you can never meet these people in person another way. And they are there to meet other people. Like, if the people that came to Railmakers were just interested in training and craft, they would do all that online or they'd buy books, especially the introverted ones. And so, you know, I think it also, you know, to the introverts listening, if you're going to a writer's conference, you also want to meet other people. It just may be harder to come out of your shell, and that's fine. Some of my best friends in life have been introverts, so I get it. Don't be afraid of us extroverts. We like I said, we just want to get the party going.
Now, I must confess that in my wild youth, I experimented with introversion. But that's all behind me now. And I think in my case, it may have actually been a sin. I thought I may have still been an introvert until I came to Railmakers. And then I realized, oh no, I'm actually an extrovert. Now I will run out of energy much, much earlier than 2 a.m. when I think Steve Raza and his board gamer friends are still burning away the midnight oil talking about superpowers with their card games and such. I still haven't gone to one of those. I really, really want to, but how are they doing this? You know, and then Steve Raza is probably writing another novel on the side and then he has it published the next morning. Introverts, extroverts, and all are welcome at Railmakers. I think in the last couple of years, they actually have a little sticker you can add to your conference badge, which by the way, is one of the most fun features of Railmakers. And I want first-time guests to be aware of this. When you get there, I don't know if other writers' conferences do this, but when you get there, you can show your favorite genres, the genres in which you are attempting to write or publish with branded stickers. I put the little rocket ship on mine, and then it, at least so far, they haven't had any nonfiction stickers, but I'm going to put two rocket ships on mine this time, as well as the number of conferences you've been to, so people can see how much XP you've got. And then also a little sticker that says talkable, which means, hey, you're approachable. You know, you can approach me. I am a designated extrovert. I passed all of the tests. I got my extroversion license, and people can try their luck on you. Or don't be surprised if they walk up to you and, like Zach said, get the conversation started. I kind of like that discrimination because it helps, especially first-time guests. It's a good kind of discrimination. There are some good ones. And this helps first-time guests to realize who is maybe someone who is safe, who is approachable. So find the people with those talkable stickers on them if they're still using them this year. And I think the most important thing that I would have to say, and this is also a lesson I had to learn from early writers' conferences, is, and this is going to sound cliche because a keynote conference speaker and all the people doing the classes are going to tell you this if they're wise, but I'm going to tell you this too. Remember that this is a journey, not a make or break single chance. Now, I feel like the guru on the top of the mountaintop. I know everybody says this, but if you're a new conference goer, you have these, you know, magical conversion stories in your head and all the survivorship bias ones that rise to the top, where the person, you know, fell in love at first sight and the agent or editor smiled upon them, like their eyes widened while they were looking at your proposal, like, this is good. I have never seen it like before. Please let us sign the contract today, this moment. I'll call the preacher. And then the rose petals float around and the doves are released. That does not happen. It's okay to fantasize. I'm your fantasy writer. It's okay to think about it happening. Just imagine what that represents and then take what that truly represents and then spread it out over 10 years, maybe 5 years or longer. Always, always, always remember, you know, be realistic, stay grounded. This is not a make or break chance. And yes, that also means don't do like I did that one time where someone maybe gave me a mentor feedback criticism about a manuscript. And then I thought, okay, I got to go fix that right now. So I'm just going to go hide in my hotel room and, you know, an extra advantage. I really don't have to talk to anybody right now because I'm really tired and still feeling that old introversion I experimented with. Do not retreat to your room to write or edit on your manuscript. Do not do it. Not a great plan. Don't. You paid to be there. Respect your own work, respect your own money, and respect the other people who would like to meet you because you may be cool and powerful someday and they want to invest in your life. Get some rest. Don't drink too much coffee. Oh, and by the way, always, always ask other people about their stories. Gentlemen, some of the early writers conferences I went to, I don't know if they were first-time guests or whatever, but they would tell me what they were working on and never ask what I was working on. And I tried to ask what other people were working on because I was new and trying to learn. And then some people were a little too overeager. There was at that time a sort of viewed as a bigwig and acquisitions person at a table at the banquet. This is not at Realmakers. And he asked people to go around the table and tell him what favorite story they had read this year. And you may guess where I'm going with this. One person spying a marketing opportunity decided to say that her favorite story was, of course, her own. And here's what it was about. And oh, and you could just sort of feel the cringe and just people sort of doing that slow, nervous nod or like faux pas. So I learned from other people's mistakes and like never, ever do that.
Yeah, that's like the classic, like, what's your biggest weakness in a job interview? You know,
right. What's
your biggest? My weakness is I care too much and I work too hard.
I'm an overachiever. Always have been. I play the violin and sing opera just for fun. Well, that leads me to another tip. And I bet you all can bounce off of this, too, along with bring lots of drinking water and don't drink too much coffee. Errors that I have made, especially before trying to pitch a manuscript. I engage wholeheartedly with the humans and view the 15-minute pitch appointments as a surprise bonus feature. Like, I actually got to this point at one point, like, oh yeah, I have an appointment with so-and-so. It's not going to work, but I'm going to get to meet this person and ask about their job. And then at one point I got to the end of like, oh snap, I have only 2 minutes to do the pitch. This is probably a good problem to have. But here's another thing I want to ask you all about. The Epistle of James in the Bible warns against partiality. And warns, for example, against putting the poor man at the back of the church while bringing the wealthy man to the very front to give him the place of honor. And James says, don't do this. Don't take bribes like that. Don't show partiality. And I hope to heaven that I have this in the back of my mind at a writer's conference, because you develop, if you're not careful, you develop a sense of radar when a celebrity enters the room and then suddenly all the light sort of drains that person, like, this person could make or break the writing career I want to have. And then you start thinking in terms of clout chasing or celebrity awareness. And I think this happened to me when I went back to Realmakers in 2016. It was at the very rainy Villanova campus in Pennsylvania, and Hillary Clinton was giving the address at the convention that was in the same town. So the Lord sent a mighty thunderstorm and marooned my flight, and I came in at 2:30 a.m. and people stayed up to wait for me. It was awesome. It was terrible, but it was awesome. But I remember like being in the cafeteria at this, you know, Fringinar basically type campus and thinking, you know, I should meet new people. I should talk with people whom I do not know, even if no one's ever heard their names, because first, it's righteous. And secondly, because they could be the next popular person, the next big celebrity. And then they would know, though, that I liked them before they were cool. You know, we were friends before they were cool. I'm just curious, like, JJ, I wonder if you have, like, even though you yourself are a big, you know, Realmaker celebrity now and the author of the blockbuster Iggy and Oz series, maybe you're on the other side of it, but everybody remembers what it was like to be on this side of it. Like, what do you feel about the risk of clout chasing at a conference?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because you admire these authors. You've read their books. You get excited about seeing them. I got a funny story that actually goes along with this. You know, you're talking about Steve Raza, and as somebody who rooms with Steve every single year, I can assure you our gaming sessions do go late at night. But last year, Steve and I were walking through the lobby. There was a kid, teenager, that just kind of stopped and just kind of did one of these. And he was there with his family. And his mother and sister were attending the conference. And I heard his mom go, oh, he's just a little starstruck because Steve Raza just walked by. And I said, whoa, Steve, get back here for a minute. Steve came back, introduced him to the kid. Her other children were Iggy and Oz fans. Some of these authors, they want to meet fans. They want to meet people who love their books. But here's the deal. That young woman, the mom who was attending, is actually Lindsay Llewellyn, who just published a book, The Chaos Grid, with Enclave Publishing. Awesome book. I got to read an arc. Fabulous book. One of my favorite reads this year. You know, you never know who's going to be the next breakout success. And I think Lindsay is going to be a breakout success. I think she has some very good books. Don't celebrity chase, but take time to get to know the authors around you who haven't published. Because guess what? They may be the next person to sort of break out and be successful. Don't ignore people. Don't celebrity chase in the sense that all you're doing is trying to hang out with this author. Go and hang out with authors who are publishing for the first time or who have just published, who have just put their first book out. I think that's important, but also understand, you know, these authors also, they want to meet people who, because nothing makes an author feel excited than somebody to come up and say, man, I loved your book. That, to me, gives me more confidence than selling a couple thousand copies. I'd rather just hear from that one person. But at the same time, read the room, because sometimes these authors are taking mentor appointments. Sometimes they may have a break, and that may be the only break that they have. Same thing with the agents and editors. So just kind of read the room a little bit. If they're kind of moving off to the side and they just looks like they want some privacy and they're, you know, talking on their phone or something like that, just kind of be aware of that. So that's my advice and tip there. Don't ignore everybody. Don't celebrity chase. But at the same time, don't be afraid to go up and talk to an author that you admire and let them know how much you enjoy their books, because, you know, authors want to hear that. So.
Yeah, one of the little tips I've learned is that during classes, some authors are there to go through classes and some are just in the bookstore as vendors. And that can be a great time to go meet an author because there's no one else in the bookstore area at that time. They're just kind of bored. And maybe, again, maybe they're introverted and they're just working on their next book. Like I'm sure Steve Raza, every time I turn around, he's publishing a new book, just writing it in little scraps of time here and there. But that can be a great time to go meet people when there's not a lot of demand on their time or attention. But yeah, I think the real key I've learned to Realmakers is find people who are your peers. So people who are at the same stage of their writing career as you, whether you're just getting started out, you've never written anything. In my case, in 2018, I was in the middle of a book. I was about halfway through... through kind of a monster of a 150,000 word book, and it came like 180,000. So that was a giant beast I still have not tamed, and that's sitting in a drawer somewhere. I came to that Realmakers without any expectations of pitching it to anyone. I didn't have any sort of objectives other than just learn writing and meet people. And that's a great attitude to have for your first one if you're going. Now, if you've been writing for a long time, you finished a couple books and you're there to pitch, you know, that maybe that's a different set of advice. You probably need that support system, the people that'll pray for you, people that have pitched and have gone through that, you know, people that are a little bit ahead of you is really good to have. And then
you want to try to meet those mentors, not, again, not as celebrities that you're going to put on a pedestal, but people that you can talk to that can kind of guide you through it. And then the last thing is you want to look for people who are further behind you in their writing journey, who could be your Padawans, you know, your disciples, people that are just wide-eyed and like, why am I here? What am I even doing here? I just met two guys last night, in fact, at a meetup here in town for something else entirely, and found out one of the guys was a brand new Christian, and he's writing like contemporary fiction, but wants to write sci-fi. Another guy was from out of town, and he's writing more of a nonfiction that he wants to turn into a fiction. And so that was so cool to get to talk to them and hear where they were on their kind of the beginnings of their writer's journey. And I was able just to give some advice and encouragement. And the guy that's local here, invite him to our writer's group that we have here in town. And so, you never know who you're going to meet and who you are going to encourage. And I think that's really the key thing, is if you go to the writers conference looking for other people to encourage, looking for other people to bless and other people to give something to, rather than just trying to take in and get people to be impressed by you, you know, you're going to have so much of a better writers conference if you have that attitude. And lastly, to something you said, Stephen, yes, there can be a trend of people that talk way too much about what they're writing, and you kind of feel like a hostage, and you like, how do I get out of this situation? So don't be that guy that can't stop talking about his book, you know, but also don't be afraid to talk about what you're saying. You know, I talked to, there was a teacher I talked at Realm Makers. I can't remember who this was, but he said how he went to a secular writers conference. And they would go around the table and everyone would say, hey, what are you writing? And no one would say anything. At most, they would say, well, I'm writing in science fiction, or I'm writing contemporary women's fiction or something. But there was no details at all what they're writing. And this person, you know, kind of inquired about that and said, why does no one even give me a synopsis or a tagline of what they're writing? And the answer he got was, because everyone's afraid their idea will get stolen. And everyone's just kind of paranoid that everyone else there is, you know, like a spy trying to steal some trade secrets. And Realm Makers is not like that at all. Like, don't feel afraid to talk about what you're writing. Have a succinct way of saying it, you know, a one or two sentences. So have more than just the genre you're writing in. Don't give me 10 pages of what you're writing, but tell me something about it. Strike up a conversation about it.
Absolutely. And quick thoughts about synopsis too. I always resonate personally, I don't know if this is official writer advice, but I always resonate personally when someone will name their main character. My book is about XYZ. I would name my main character right now, except we're in edit, so who knows, might change. I don't think it will, but name your main character. Tell me what he or she wants. That's plot. And tell me about the opposition. That's also plot. You can mention a little bit about the world, but don't give me the prologue and the history and the dates, and don't get so wrapped up in the world building that you forget to connect me, a human being, with the main character, also a human being. Look for those human connection moments, not just in real life at the conference with your friends and your colleagues and your peers around you, but look for those human connection moments in how you pitch your manuscript. As a bonus, you might get some more interest from an editor or agent and some such. And finally, there's probably a lot more. We could have spent the whole episode on this. But finally, I want to ask you two about my three word concluding advice here. Don't be weird. I don't know how else to say that, but don't be weird. I think we all suddenly start thinking, okay, how was I weird? And how am I not weird? That's also plot development. You know, I wanted not to be weird, so I decided not to be weird, and I defeated the villain, and then I got my dream, even if I had to learn a little something along the way. I don't know who to call on first for the do not be weird advice, but JJ, you're not weird. I assume you've already been through that stage. So how did you, good sir, learn not to be weird if you were ever weird?
I think the best advice I can give on that is, we've talked about this quite a bit on today's episode, but it's to listen more than the talk. If you're an introvert, one of the best ways to start a conversation is just, hey, my name's so-and-so. You know, I see you're so-and-so, fifth year here. What do you write? And listen, because there are a lot of people that just want somebody to take time to listen to them. Now, being weird, I think, is constantly following somebody around, constantly continuing to bug them. So I go back to that read the room situation, and that's so tough to do sometimes. You know, don't follow Steve Lobby into the bathroom to pitch a book. Don't do things like that. Don't come up to Steve Rosen and say, hey, I think we could co-write a book together. Don't make suggestions to other folks. What you need to do is get to know somebody. Get to know somebody on a more personal level. But don't do it in a weird way where you're just constantly asking them two personal questions. Just say, you know, what do you do for a living? You know, after you've, you know, hey, do you want to go grab lunch together? Grab a cup of coffee together? Hey, what's your favorite, you know, fandom? Those are always good conversation starters. But don't do something in a way that where you're just constantly talking about yourself, constantly talking about your work, and you're not showing interest. Because part of networking and part of building relationships is getting to know people beyond just the book, beyond just the pitch. And it's getting to connect with people and just, you know, talk about, hey, I heard you like to dictate your novel. Do you have any tips? You know, ask for tips, but don't talk about yourself to the point where people are just like, okay, I'm tired of this conversation. And trust me, there's some folks that have bailout signs with their friends are like, you know, if this person's getting, and I scratch my head, I need you to come rescue me. We don't want that. And it very rarely happens at Realmakers. I'll be honest with you. Realmakers is one of those conferences where I don't really see a lot of people just being super weird and annoying. I've seen it at other conferences. And so I think that that is a testament to the community. And this is where I want to give, you know, my piece of advice here. If you're not involved in the Realm Sphere, you need to get involved in the Realm Sphere. If you're coming to conference this year, you need to get involved in the 2024 group that is on the Realm Sphere. Figure out how to turn your notifications on. Get in there. Start building conversations. Start building relationships. Because if you have relationships before you show up to the conference, there's less of a chance that you're going to be the weird one that nobody wants around. And here's the thing. Everybody at Realmakers is so amazingly kind and so amazingly patient that you don't hear these stories of people being weird at conference. But, you know, you don't want to come across that way. So, like I said, get involved in the Realm Sphere right now and start building conversations with people. You know, I know we're talking about weird, and I don't want people to think, hey, there's a bunch of weird people at Realmakers.
It's a good kind of weird. You know, we like fantasy and sci-fi, but actually that's normal, eternally speaking. But exactly. I think we all know what we mean. Inappropriate could be a synonym for that.
I think so.
I think there's a dynamic that goes on, which is the parasocial dynamic, where you can feel like you know someone really well because you've followed their blog, you've read their books, you've listened to their podcast, you've watched interviews with them, you follow all their social media posts and you like them, or maybe you even comment on them. And it's really a lopsided relationship where you know everything about them, but they don't really know anything about you. And that is where you do have to be a little bit more extroverted, even on the Realm Sphere. Put yourself out there a little bit, try to get to know people. Again, like JJ said, you want to listen too. You want to, you know, you got two ears, one mouth, use them in proportion. It can be sort of a strange transition to go from that digital community to that in-person community. And so have patience with it, because you might meet people in person and they don't recognize you right away. Because again, all we've had is that little square of someone's picture online, and maybe you weren't wearing glasses then and you are now or something. And so, you know, be aware of that dynamic. You know, it's like you get that leg up, you get to know the people you want to talk to ahead of time. But you still have to give room for those relationships to develop naturally.
Zach, you're one of the most appropriate people I've ever met. So I doubt you had to have one way weird at a writer's conference and then I wasn't. I think you've always been appropriate at a writer's conference, which leads me to a parting word of advice there. Yeah, if you're a hugger, don't hug somebody unless they want to be hugged. Hugs must be consensual, and there's all kinds of other advice about that. I'd like to close with my one story fairly recently with probably one of the most famous people, if not the most famous Christian authors to go to Realmakers, and that was Frank Peretti a couple of years ago at the St. Louis conference. Now, I was super proud, unless there was some other anecdote I don't know about, and maybe we won't talk about here even if we do know about it. Realmakers was awesome. For Frank Peretti. I think he had a great time. And I didn't see anybody being weird I wasn't weird, but I was almost weird. I thought about being weird briefly. And so here's my redemption story. I'm there, I think, Wednesday night. Yeah, I got in Wednesday night. My wife and I drove. I'm sitting there talking with conference organizer X. I'm talking with conference organizer X about the event. You know, we're catching up. We're friends. You know, it's good. And then suddenly my spidey sense starts tingling. I mean, it lights up like a Christmas tree, like Doc Ock is about to throw a truck through the window. But a truck does not get thrown through the window. Instead, Frank Peretti comes through the door. And he doesn't come through, you know, with stage lights and, you know, the Mr. Henry theme song. He just comes through like a normal chap. But he does have the banjo on his back. Those who know, you know, where Frank Peretti stands know that he's also in a banjo band. He plays banjo in a band. And so it's instantly recognizable. This Frank Peretti, he's, you know, he doesn't have a henchman to check in for him. He doesn't have his butler. He's just Frank Peretti. I think his wife is with him. And my spider sense goes off and I'm like, don't be weird. It's just Frank Peretti. He's just like written some, you know, multi-million best-selling Christian spiritual warfare novels and then an even better novel called The Visitation in 1999. Don't be weird. And besides which, the person who needs to go greet Frank Peretti is conference organizer X, because that is his main point of contact. So I just sat there and like organizer X knew he needed to interrupt the conversation. And I'm like, go live your dream. He does. And he connects and, you know, that's appropriateness. But I think if I'd been, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years younger, I might've been like, I'm totally going to stand this guy and thank him for the darkness books and then be weird and inappropriate. But yeah, truck dodged, mission accomplished. And then by the way, yeah, everybody was cool with Frank Peretti and he was cool with everybody. Very approachable, but he would just kind of walk into the vendor hall and check stuff out. And it was just completely normal, as it should be. Let these people be normal people, because if they're godly people, they want to be normal people. They don't want to be the rich guy sitting at the front of the room any more than anybody else, even if they have achieved things and are worthy of keynote addresses like Frank Peretti was. All right. All of these credits, by the way, transfer to any other writer's conference, Christian or otherwise, including the Christian-run Story Embers Summit, which is our third sponsor today. Are you a Christian writer looking for training that enriches you both as a writer and as a Christian? So probably a lot of themes that we've touched on today. The 2024 Story Embers Summit is taking place next month from May 23rd through 25th, 2024, and it will help you discover how your faith intersects with your writing life when you're struggling over a scene in your manuscript. Your faith doesn't need to be on the sidelines of your writing journey. Authors like Sarah Ella, Stephen James, Carla Hawk, and Thomas Umstead Jr. are coming together to tackle the tough issues Christian writers wrestle with. This summit will help you grow your confidence through thought-provoking sessions, small group discussions over Zoom, and even a query letter workshop. You can learn more about the 2024 Story Embers Summit and how the speakers can help you blend your faith and writing craft more effectively by visiting storyembers.org/summit. That is storyembers.org/summit. You can also get that link in our show notes for this episode 210 or at lorehaven.com/podcast. All right, third chapter, grand finale. That's where we have the amazing climactic news that JJ is ready to reveal. And those who've been listening have caught the scuttlebutt about this. Chapter 3, what is the future of the Realm Makers event? So just to recap real quick, yes. July 18th through 20th, 2024, that's this year as this episode releases, Realm Makers returns to St. Louis as before. But as I mentioned, the conference, because of all the growth, has been outgrowing that otherwise great space. Guys, the vendor hall alone, the bookstore, is packed to the gills. And by the way, even if you're not a writer going to the conference, Saturday night is when, if you're anywhere near there, you can come by and meet your favorite authors. Don't stalk them, but you can meet them and they would love to meet you. And Lorehaven's going to be there. We'll be there at the booth that we always have to meet people who listen to this podcast and to help connect them with the authors that they love. But because the vendor hall is bursting at the seams and because the conference is outgrowing, well, this is a good problem to have. And so organizers for a while, I happen to know, have dreamed of adding, not replacing, not evolving, but adding a fan-centric event, super bonus features going alongside the writers' conference. So the writers' conference will stay the same with the top-tier instruction and the networking and all of that stuff. But JJ, I think you're ready to reveal more publicly what the next stage is for the super expanded Realm Makers Plus, or whatever we're calling it, that will take place not this year, but next year at a to-be-announced location.
Yeah, we're not going to announce the location or the dates. Scott's still ironing out some details involving that. Now, I'm going to slow down a little bit because there's the things I know and the things I can reveal, and they're two different things. As you said, you know, the conference is staying the same. I want to emphasize that point. We've emphasized that point the entire episode. The annual conference is staying the same. We've talked about the exhibitor hall, how we've outgrown it. We have over about 50 exhibitors this year. And I've talked about how that's a great thing to have because people are investing the space into Realm Makers. They understand there's either going to be a return on their investment with sales or with exposure. And unfortunately, we're just sort of outgrowing that. We've seen Realm Makers go through these points of growth before. 2017, when we moved from the college campuses to the hotel resorts, big experience in growth. We've seen them grow throughout our 5 years that we've been in the St. Louis location. And now we're sort of turning that chapter and we're sort of growing again. In 2025, Realm Makers is going to be partnering with four other organizations. We're going to be partnering with the Christian Game Developers, Love Thy Nerd, Geeks Under Grace, and we're also going to be partnering with the Christian Board Gamers. Now, what's going to be happening in 2025 is that two other conferences are going to be happening in the same location, the same weekend as us. So the Christian Game Developers are going to have their annual Christian Game Developers Conference, and Love Thy Nerd is going to be putting on their Nerd Culture Ministry Summit. So basically, we'll have three different events happening at the same time, and we're all partnering together. And I want to stress this. This is a partnership. This isn't just Realm Makers leading away. This is a partnership.
It's a superhero team up. Everybody has their own franchises, but then they all get together for the team up movie.
This is the most epic crossover we can have when it comes to Christian geeks and nerds right here. All right. We're going to be launching next year Realm Makers Expo. Now, what is Realm Makers Expo? Think of the Realm Makers Expo as we always talk about San Diego Comic-Con or New York City Comic-Con or Dragon Con and how these are sort of destination cons. We want Realm Makers Expo to be the destination con for all Christian geeks, nerds, gamers, and lovers of speculative fiction. We want this to be the place where fans who can come and discover their new favorite fandom find it here at Realm Makers Expo. We are going to be having tons of exhibitors, hopefully a lot more, and not just authors. We want to invite YouTubers. We want to invite podcasters. We want to invite artists and comic book creators and game developers, everybody to come together to create an extraordinary, amazing fan con at Realm Makers Expo. We're still in the early stages of planning this, okay? I want to make sure I stress that. So we don't know exactly what the programming is going to look like. I'm sure we'll have panels. I'm sure we'll have maybe some author signings or author readings or game tournaments or something like that. We don't know exactly yet. So we're still in the early stages of putting this together. But let me just kind of pause here for a moment because I get to see a lot of the behind the scenes happen. Stephen, you mentioned how this has been kind of up in Scott's head for a couple of years now. He's been talking about this fan call. And every Monday when we would meet back in the fall, we had a whole bunch of things going on. And every once in a while, he'd bring up this FanCon idea. And it was always kind of there, but we weren't seeing a lot of movement. And I always kind of go back to the book of Habakkuk. You know, Habakkuk really wanted to see God do some amazing work. And God, you know, gave him that famous, phrase, look at the nations, watch, be utterly amazed. I'm about to do something your day that not even you would believe if I told you. Now, we usually stop right there. We know what happens with the rest of what God says there. But it's kind of like Habakkuk was sort of sitting in the waiting room. And God's just saying, not yet, not yet. And that's sort of how it felt with this. It's like, it's been there. It's been this idea. It's been this vision. But God's just kind of sat there in a vision, like, not yet. And then all of a sudden, right as we turn to New Year, Scott starts having a lot of meetings and meeting with people, reaching out to people, and things just start clicking all of a sudden. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about what I think people can do to help get ready for 2025. And I think the most important thing is we're seeing God do some incredible work, because just like Realmaker started as a desire to provide community for authors writing Christian speculative fiction, now we're extending and adding to that mission by reaching out to fans who love this and who want to be able to discover some new fandoms that are written by people who are believers, or games that are written by people who are believers. What we're going to do, the biggest thing you can do right now is just to start to pray. Because anytime we see God really working, we know the enemy is going to attack at some point, whether that's personally or whatever. Just be in prayer for Realmakers. The second thing that I think that people need to do, we've already stressed this, but get involved in the Realm Sphere. That is one of the most important things. Realmakers, the bookstore, is getting ready to go on its yearly tour, I guess we could say, where we're going to be hitting some major stops, four major stops, and we're going to be interacting through the month of May with a ton of fans, a ton of readers. We're going to be giving out these postcards, and on one side of the postcard is a little QR code, and it says, "Are you a fan of speculative fiction? Come and be a part of our private social network, our private social community. In the Realm Sphere, we are launching a fan-centric location for fans to be a part of. If you're a creator, you want to be involved in this. This is an opportunity to connect with fans. And this is a part of us growing and reaching out to the fan community. So get involved in the Realm Sphere. Before too long, we're going to be launching our website for Realmakers Expo, our newsletter, and we'll be launching our social media channels. We're not there yet, but we will be doing that sometime probably over the next 6 months. When that happens, get involved by, first of all, following us, but reaching out to folks that you know are fans and would like to be involved and maybe go to Realmakers Expo. Because Realmakers Expo is going to have its own registration. If you come to the annual conference, you have access to the expo, but fans can just come and just attend the expo itself. That part will be like a 2 to 3 day event. So reach out to fans who would love to come to Realmakers, have them follow us on social media, have them sign up for our newsletters and things like that. That's another thing you can do. And then I think the last thing is to start volunteering. It takes a lot to put on our annual conference. Next year, it's going to take even more to put on both the expo and our annual conference. Raylene Burke is our membership director. She's also our volunteer coordinator at our annual conference. I want her to have so many volunteers that she's actually rejecting some. And that's what I want for this year in 2024. So if you can volunteer this year, reach out to Raylene and ask, hey, where can I volunteer to help this year? But also start praying about where you can help volunteer in 2025 at the expo. Now, don't go message Scott right now and say, hey, I want to volunteer for the expo. We're not there yet. I can tell you, we will get there and we will let you know when we get there, but we are going to need a lot of volunteers. It's just incredible just to kind of look back over the years and kind of see. I tell people I have one of the easiest marketing jobs in the world, because my job is just to make sure we're continuing to be intentional about reaching our audience. And Realmakers as a community does about 90% of my job for me. I don't have to do a whole lot to get word out about Realmakers. All the Realmies do that. So it's just incredible to see how amazing this community continues to coming together. And it's just continues to amaze me just how much God really continues the work here. And I'm excited about the future. Like anytime you experience growth, there's also a little bit of anxiousness that goes with it, because it's just kind of like, okay, we're stepping out and doing something new and big that we've never done before. So like I said, the biggest thing that we need, especially for Scott and Becky, who pour everything into Realmakers day in and day out, just continue to pray, because that's why I think we're going to need the most going into this next year. I'm excited about what's happening. I'm excited about, you know, reaching out to the fans. I'm excited about pulling them into our community. And we don't know 100% exactly what everything's going to look like, but Realm Makers Expo is going to be launching next year. It's going to be incredibly epic, and we'll be announcing where the dates and the location are at. There's a lot of rumors floating around right now. Just be patient. We'll get there. But that's what's happening, guys, and it's going to be exciting. So
fantastic. And if you want some of that energy, though, with Realm Makers, you don't even need to wait until July this year, much less next year, because Realm Makers Bookstore, as you said, JJ, is on tour now. And by the way, their first stop on that tour is at the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference. Oh, this weekend, as we release this episode, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, from May the 2nd to the 4th. Now, usually I try to get to some of these events, but this year I'm actually stepping back temporarily. So don't look for Lorehaven at these conferences, but you will find all these amazing authors and folks, famous folks, by the way, who would love to meet you as well. Not just a bunch of the Realm Makers authors and Enclave Publishing and all that stuff, but Mike Naraki is back. He will be back at this booth. He is, of course, the voice of Larry the Cucumber, the co-creator of the original VeggieTales, and now the author of the popular middle grade series. So he's a colleague of yours, JJ, the Dead Sea Squirrels. Bunch of other names here. Brian Timothy Mitchell, we've had him on the show before, Realm Award winner for Infernal Fall. Millie Florence, Steva Nedvedek, Sylvia Hansen, you mentioned her earlier, JJ, C.E. White, Craig and Shira Meredith, and Lauren Brandenburg, and probably more if they got space at the booth. So that's coming up just this weekend in Pigeon Forge. And then, wow, it's going to be busy for those folks. Going to put a lot of mileage on the trailer tires there. The Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference in Branson, Missouri, just 2 weeks later, May 16th through 18th. That's actually a new event. And I'm trying not to resent it too much because they were here in my area last year, but it's a little easier for me to get to. But they moved to Branson, which is probably a better location for them. And that's May 16th through 18th. And after that, the very next weekend, Realm Makers Bookstore hightails it to Orlando for the Florida Homeschool Convention, the FBEA, May 23rd through 25th. And then the weekend after that is the first Rise Up Con in Sevierville, Tennessee. So right next door to Pigeon Forge, 1 month later, they hop right back for May 31st and June the 1st of this year. I'm going to have more information about that at lorehaven.com coming up, even if I'm not there. I want to promote those events. So if you want those postcards JJ was talking about, hit Realm Makers Bookstore at any one of those homeschool conferences and at Rise Up Con. And then hopefully, after I've got this a book put together, which is the reason for me stepping back from the live events this year, I want to hit every single one of those that I can next year, and I will actually have a cool novel, hopefully cool, to showcase for folks also. Zach, any other thoughts about your hopes of like Realm Makers coming up, and then especially just the need to pray and be ready to volunteer and show, you know, Christ-like service and support in keeping with not just don't be weird, but in keeping with the best way to get the most out of a writer's conference?
Yeah, I think what JJ said is so key, that if you are a fan of these books, of these Christian-made video games, board games, movies, TV shows, you know, jump in our Realm Sphere and get to know other fans, get to know the creators, and bring your friends, because we need to build this community ourselves. No one's going to build it for us. We can't just wait around for, you know, Walmart to start carrying the books and the board games that we want to see. We've got to make it happen. And hey, we are providing that vehicle for it to happen. There was a viral tweet this week that had like 54,000 views on it. Someone was basically saying, hey, where's the science fiction about the future of humanity and what religion is going to look like 500, 1,000 years from now in outer space and beyond? There was a couple hundred great replies to it, tons of you know, retweets and stuff. And my takeaway, though, from that is that there's not going to be a big corporation that's doing this for us. We are going to have to do this ourselves. We are going to have to let other people know about the great books we are finding. It's going to be a little more decentralized than this sort of thing has been in the past. But that's the fun part, is that we get to be involved in making this fan community happen. And JJ, I love what you said. You know, come to the Realm Makers Expo to find your new favorite fandom. A lot of us have been burned out by fandoms in recent years that have just taken a nosedive, and this is not the podcast for that. But this is a way to find a great new fandom to be excited about. And hey, you know, maybe it's not the big one that's there, it's on sale at Costco or something, but you get to find other people to enjoy it with through the Realm Sphere. So jump on in.
I want to hear from listeners about their hopes for Realm Makers. Here's our top question leading into the comm station. What are your memories attending a fan event or writers conference? Do you remember the weirdness? Do you remember how you've grown? Do you remember how fun yet exhausting it was to get to know other people with interests just like yours? So send us an email, podcast@lorehaven.com, or you can find us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter X, whatever you call them. We want to hear from you and definitely follow Realm Makers, realmmakers.com. Join the Realm Sphere. Get involved. Go to the conference this year. Start getting ready for next year. And by the way, yeah, let us know, too, what you think of sort of an incidental trilogy of podcast episodes. We've had a lot of great feedback about that. So much, I'm going to skip the feedback this time just because we've had a lot of time sharing conference memories and encouragements. Episode 207, Should We Get Mad When Christians Scorn Fantastical Fiction? So, kind of started the conversation here, getting past these old stereotypical criticisms of Christian-made storytelling, and then jumping to another fantastic group that is creating space, their own space, for onstage performances of The Chronicles of Narnia, episode 208, How Does the Logos Theater Adapt Narnia for the Stage? And then last week we had episode 209, How Can We Avoid Cliched Criticism of Christian Fiction? So yeah, some of the stories can feel cliched, but so can the criticisms. And let us just put them to rest. There are no more cliches, I feel, in Christian fiction, no more shallowness than that which you would find in general market stories. We just have higher expectations sometimes for our fellow Christian creators. But when we're growing, we need to give each other space and develop better criticisms. Not no criticisms, just better ones. People have had great things to say about that one. You can join the Lorehaven Guild. We'll have topics posted for each of these, or you can send your thoughts to the addresses I mentioned earlier. JJ, it's been great to have you. Yeah, I want to get to this too. Yeah, JJ, where can people follow you personally at your various social platforms?
Well, I'm very active on Instagram, probably the most. So JJ Johnson_author. It's the same thing on Facebook. If you follow me on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it now, it's JJ Johnson Writes. And my website is also JJJohnsonWrites.com. I do have a Substack. That's where my newsletter primarily is at nowadays. So you can sign up for that newsletter on my website as well.
I almost missed the feedback section for our guest. Thank you so much for being here, JJ, and staying a little late for that. Next on Fantastical Truth, King David was a man after God's own heart, but he failed. King Arthur was the legendary ruler of Britain, and yet he also failed so hard we sometimes don't even know whether he existed. And in newer fiction, Paul Atreides was the prophesied Lisan al-Ghaib, and once again, he failed. Why is it so frustrating to watch all of these real and fictional heroes keep failing? That's in our next Fantastical Truth episode, which you can look forward to next week, even as you look forward to the Realm Makers Conference. Go to the conference, virtually or real, especially if you are a Christian creative. Show up Saturday night to browse the bookstore, meet your favorite authors, and then pray for this next event as the conference grows while maintaining its original mission, crossing over with these amazing other Christian creative groups. Be ready to pray, be ready to volunteer, be ready to support, and be ready to celebrate these incredible stories that Christian creators are making for the glory of God and the building of His community as we continue to seek and find His fantastical truth.